Good morning. Have any of you had a wow moment? Like something's like you just had to say wow? I have. In fact, I thought of three this morning before church. First one was when I first saw the Grand Canyon. The sun was setting and it was beautiful. And I just thought, wow, God made this. There's no way that the earth has been around long enough for a creek to cut a path a mile wide. The Grand Canyon. The second time was when I saw the redwood forest. Have any of you seen redwoods? They're beautiful. You gotta put it on your bucket list. When you go drive through the redwood forest, you'll say, wow. And you'll be glad that I told you to go there. The third one that I thought of was standing by the Mount of Olives, looking across the Jordan River, and seeing where Moses was with the Israelites on the other side of the Jordan. And they were preparing to come into the Promised Land. Of course, Moses, he wasn't able to make the trek. He had frustrated God enough that God said, you don't get to go there. You've got to walk 40 years in the desert, come to the edge of the Jordan River Valley there, and that's it, you're done. The other people got to go in, the new generation. That was a wow. I got to see that. And I hope you get to see that too. Instead of the redwood forest, go see the Mount of Olives. I recommend that. That was amazing. Well, today we're not talking about those things, but I'm hoping that you have a wow moment with your spiritual life, that you can grab hold of God's truth and say, wow, that's for me. That's real. As Tim had read it from the bulletin there, I want you to look at that. There's so much in there. It was a long scripture reading, but you know, we need to hear God's word. And God promised to bless these people. And fortunately, he gives us that same opportunity to be blessed. God tells him that he's going to give them unfailing love. God's unfailing love. That's one of the blessings. And he says, you'll have many children, and he'll give fertility to your land and your animals, large harvests, great herds. You will be blessed above all. That's what we can grab hold of if we do what God told them they had to do. They had to obey. That's it. Just obey. Trust him and obey. I've entitled today's message, In God We Trust. Now, how many of you carried around the title of the message today this week? Come on. Some of you have it in your pocket now. $1 bill, $20 bill, whatever. In God we trust. You carry it around with you. Do you believe it's true? Isn't it ironic that it's on our money? And yet we struggle with trusting God. We trust the money that that phrase is printed on more than we trust God. Let's pray as we dive into this message about debt and trusting God. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your unfailing love that is available to us to grab hold of. Help us to obey you, Lord. Help us to understand your wisdom, your perspective. Help us to grab hold of that and apply it to our lives. Lord, as we look to you today, I ask that you would speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. The world around us encourages us to spend money. If you look at the newspaper, you can't avoid it. Advertising all over the TV. And then not only that, but then they want you to borrow. And do what with that? Spend all that so you can borrow some more. That's what the world would want you to do. Spend, spend, spend. When you see a house or a car for sale, let's say you have a need. You want to go buy a car or a house. What do they say to you? How much do you want to spend? Well, I always want to say $1 when the car dealer says it. $1 or less, maybe. How much do you want to spend? How much can you afford is what the realtor says. Now, I'm not against realtors or car salesmen, But that's kind of the nature of the business. How much can you afford? How much money can I get you to spend so that I can make more money? That's probably their mindset. They make more money if you spend more money. They don't want you to go in so much debt that you can't afford to pay it off, but they want you to go into as much as possible oftentimes, especially if they're a little bit corrupt. Last week I mentioned the verse Proverbs 14:12. There is a path before each person that seems right, but it ends in death. We might change that to say it seems right, but it ends in debt. Because debt is such a burden for many of us. And they say that one of the biggest struggles in life, especially in marriage, is money. People struggle with money. God says it's the root of all evil. God doesn't say that money's bad, but it causes us to think badly. The root of all evil. Do you want man's ways and his wisdom because it seems right? Like Proverbs 14:12 says, it seems right. Yeah, I think I deserve that car or that house. Or I need a new wardrobe or whatever. What do you struggle with in spending money? Are you looking at man's wisdom or God's perspective and his wisdom? Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, God says. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. It's crucial for us to grab hold of that wisdom. Those are good verses. God's ways are better than man's ways. They're better than your ways. You know, sometimes we think we know best. As teenagers, we probably know the most, right? We think we know everything. More than our parents. I finally taught my kids, well, most of them, that there's wisdom in God and not in themselves. And I don't mean to pick on my kids. I was the same way. We all were. We all thought we knew more than we did when we were young. But God knows everything. No matter how old we are, God knows more than us. We need to grab hold of his perspective. We need to be able to learn from God. Are you seeking his wisdom? Are you reading his word? God says that we often don't grab hold of his wisdom, but we look to our own ways. In Hebrews 3:10 it says, that is why I was angry with that generation. I said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. If you don't know God's way, it's pretty hard to get on the right path. You need to understand God's ways. You need to grab hold of his wisdom, his truth. And not only that, but it says in Ephesians, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world. So we don't know God's ways, so we grab hold of what the world says, and we move with the world into debt, which can be a terrible burden, like a pit. I read a story about Corrie Ten Boom and her sister, Betsy. And as you know, they were a couple sisters, Dutch sisters that lived in Germany, and they were hiding the Jews. And they got in trouble, and they got sent to the concentration camp. And it was a horrible time. You can read about it. I just want to read a paragraph here. Yet Corrie and Betsy courageously ministered to hundreds of other prisoners who needed God. Their barracks were transformed into Bible study and prayer center. And many prisoners embraced a relationship with Jesus Christ. When Betsy became deathly ill, Corrie leaned down to her to hear her whisper, "You must tell people what we have learned here. We must tell them that there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still." Betsy died the following day. Corrie was miraculously discharged from the camp only days before all the women her age were killed. Corrie later traveled the world, telling her story of God's presence even in the worst of places. You know, we often think we're in a terrible place, wherever we're at. However bad it is, we think, oh, it's so bad, I can't take it anymore. But other people have been in a lot worse places, and they've done just fine. They've grabbed hold of God, His perspective, His wisdom, and move forward. It's a choice. Grab hold of God and His perspective. Whether it's debt or depression or addiction, we're talking about these this month. Whatever it is, it could be another life struggle that you have. God has the answers. As Corrie Ten Boom found out, no pit so deep that He is not deeper still. So whether your struggles with health or relationships or finances, whatever struggle you're in, God is there for you. He is with you with no matter what your crisis. You know, I got married in 1987. Now, that wasn't a crisis. That wasn't a pit. It was a good time. And shortly after that, we started having kids. And, oh, I take that back. Oh, don't tell my wife. Well, I got married in 1985. And then we started having kids a couple years later. And then we bought a house, and we were quickly in debt. I didn't want to be in much debt. We looked for a cheap, economical home. We had just moved up to the Grand Forks area. We were looking around, and we weren't happy with anything we saw. Finally, the realtor took us where I didn't want to go, into East Grand Forks. I wanted to live in Grand Forks. And I said, just to make you happy, well, I didn't tell her that, I'm willing to go look at this house. So we looked at a house, and we loved it. And the price was right. And God blessed us by having a cheaper home, but I was still in debt. It was my desire to not be in much debt. But like all of us, we buy things that we can't afford with cash in hand, or most people. I know some people that just buy what they can afford. Praise the Lord for them. But oftentimes we go into debt, and it's not always a bad thing, but it is if you don't control it. I don't think God wants us to grab hold of debt. I think He wants us to grab hold of Him. The first thing I want to talk about today is not debt. It's maybe the opposite direction from debt. It's contentment. If you have contentment in your life, you probably have less debt, I think. Hebrews 13:5 says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. I think those are interesting words to go after. Be satisfied with what you have. I will never leave you. I will never fail you. Be satisfied. I think He's saying, grab hold of Him. Don't look to the world to be satisfied. Philippians 4, Paul tells us, I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. Paul went through a lot of struggles. Even when he was poor and maybe just got out of prison or whatever, he was content with what he had. Why? Because he learned to be content. It's a choice. It wasn't because he had as much as his neighbor, the Joneses. That's not why he was content. He was content because of what he had in God. He learned to be content with whatever he had. But we get back on that road to debt again. It's so hard for us to stay away from debt. Some of us have figured it out. Praise the Lord. I think that God would desire for us to look at each purchase and pray about it before we go onto that road of buying something that we can't pay for readily. When we lose contentment, what causes that? Or what is the result of that? Lack of self-control, lack of self-discipline. The fruits of the Spirit talk about self-control. Galatians 5:22 and 23. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control, that's what we need, I think, to keep contentment in our life. Some people are just better at it. Their personality helps them be good at self-discipline. But some people have to learn, like Paul did, how to have self-control, self-discipline. And whichever way you are, all of us can be better at self-discipline, self-control. And just because we're living in the fruit of the Spirit doesn't mean that we're going to be without temptation. Stay alert, 1 Peter says. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to grab us again. Even when we don't have debt, or we finally were free of debt, the lion is prowling around trying to grab hold of us. Whether it's a credit card company sending you offers, come on, join, get our credit card, or whether it's a purchase that you really shouldn't have or don't need, contentment is lacking. It's a huge problem in our world, in the world around us. Is it true for your life? Are you content with where you're at? Are you grabbing hold of God and the contentment that He can give you, the self-control, and the other fruits of the Spirit? I read a story about contentment. A man confided that if he just had $100, he'd be happy. So a friend of his, feeling like he wanted to give him that contentment, gave him $100, and the friend thanked him and said, "I should have asked for $200. That's the way it is. We're not content with money. We're not content with possessions. Some of the saddest, most miserable people in the world have been the wealthiest people in the world. Rockefeller, Hughes, Howard Hughes. These guys were recluses. They were afraid of society. They couldn't buy enough protection. They were frustrated and lonely. They were not content, and they didn't feel secure. Hebrews 13:5, I'll repeat again. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. Another way to say that, keep your lives free from the love of money or the love of spending money. Sometimes it's hard for us to put ourselves in the boat of, I love money. I don't really feel like I'm in that boat. But how about the boat of, I love spending money? I think it's just as bad. It's kind of the same thing. We want money so we can spend money. Never enough. Like the fire. Does a fire say, I got enough? No, it says more, more. That's the way with discontentment is. Never enough. So contentment is a choice. Whatever you're buying, whatever you have, learn to be content with where you're at. Maybe the struggle of discontentment begins with the struggle for security. It's been said that women often struggle with this issue more than men do, security. Wives want to be secure in the family, within the household. And so sometimes they're looking to buy things to feel more secure. And men, we struggle with it too. We need to look to God. There is no reason to do or to acquire for the sake of security, because the need has already been met. That's a quote that I read this week. The need has already been met through God. We need to look to Him for our security, not money, not possessions. We need to look to God for both security and significance. The other fact that the quote, the article I read said that men struggle with significance more than security. Finding significance in life. We try to achieve it through investments, business, possessions, even sexual conquests. Maybe borrowing. Maybe we try to find significance by borrowing money to purchase something to feel like we've arrived. God tells us that we need to look to Him. Matthew 6. It tells us a lot in there, starting verse 23. That is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life. Don't worry what to eat or to drink or what you're going to wear. He takes care of the birds and the flowers. He can take care of us. But we need to seek Him. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all other things, everything else, whatever you need, whatever you desire, if it's within His will, He will meet your needs. Behavior follows belief. Do you believe that? Do you believe that God can meet your needs? Or do you believe that the banker is better off at meeting your needs and you go to him? How much money can I borrow? Where are you looking? Where are you seeking? Seek first the kingdom of God and all else will be given to you. All your needs will be met. God's word also says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So if you buy a $100,000 car, that's where your heart is going to be. And it's going to be hard to park it next to anybody. You're going to park far away, and you're going to take really good care of it because you're so concerned about it, and your thoughts go to the car rather than to God. You're not looking to God to protect your car. You're not looking to God to provide you transportation, safe transportation within your needs, within your financial ability. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be careful where you place your treasure. Where is your treasure? Think about that. Or what do you think about? Because that's probably where your treasure is. The Bible has a lot to say about debt. We've talked a lot about the other side of the coin, contentment, security, significance. I believe that God desires for us to trust Him and obey Him and to not look at borrowing. Sometimes we need to borrow. I'm not saying it's a sin, but I'm saying to be careful. There's maybe a better option. Borrowing makes us presume on the future. We think we know what's going to happen. Like, we're not going to get that job increase, that pay increase, the better job, or that maybe somebody will say, hey, I found a car for you. You know, the one you're talking about, looking for, it's a great deal. You didn't have to go buy that new car. Whatever it is. Also, God wants to bless us. As we read in Deuteronomy, it's filled with God desiring to bless us. And if we presume to know the future and we borrow money, we take away that opportunity for God to bless us. You probably have heard of people being blessed with a car or money or whatever. Don't take away God's opportunity to bless you. Seek first His kingdom, and He will provide your needs. I love those verses in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. It's so easy for us to think we know the best. But God knows the best. Seek His wisdom. Seek His perspective. And pray about it. Ask God if it's really a need in your life. You're thinking about spending money, especially if you're thinking about borrowing money, but even spending money that you have. Look to God for wisdom. Ask Him. If it's a need, He'll tell you. Spend time, spend quality time with God in prayer. Seek His wisdom. James 1:5. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. As teachers, there's never a dumb question, right? That's the way God thinks. Ask me, and I'll tell you. He says, He will not rebuke you for asking. Ask God. He tells you to, He asks you to, do it. I will instruct you, He says, and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you. God desires to give us His wisdom, but we need to ask. We need to grab our contentment from God, our security, our significance, and then we can capture His perspective, His wisdom, whether it's on debt or depression or addiction or any other struggle we have. Let's pray as the music team comes up. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for Your wisdom. I thank You for Your perspective. I thank You for Your desire to share that with us. Lord, help us to ask. Help us to come boldly to You and ask for Your wisdom, whether it's a small purchase or a big purchase or whatever it is in life. Help us to come to You with all of our struggles. Help us to move forward in life and to grab hold of You and mature in You and to not be immature with our decisions, Lord. Help us to be wise. We pray.